It's been a long, time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. I go to the movie and I go downtown.
Somebody. All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Monday. That means Mondays with Sandy Williams. And Sandy, we cannot not come and have conversations without talking about Ukraine and where Ukraine is, because, you know, we talk about Ukraine from a lot of different perspectives, but we haven't talked about it much from this perspective. And where is it at? It's going to appear in a minute. You know, there's now, Sandy, a impact that we talked about and you've been talking about for a long time about what was going to happen to many other nations as they suffer the lack of food. It's starting to manifest itself in hunger, in nations starting to build up. And the poorest people. Ukraine war, again, the Wall Street Journal today, pushes millions of the world's poorest towards starvation. We're not hearing much about that. It's starting to happen. Once it starts moving, it's going to be difficult to turn it around as long as the war is still in existence. If we talk more about that, do you think it'll have any impact at all?
Well, it could. You know, the supply chain of food is one of the most cumbersome. You know, it's not easy to change that. It's something that's it's a constant marketplace. And, you know, there's so much food being manufactured or essentially grown and harvested. And that amount grown and harvested isn't much different than the amount that's consumed, right? Because there's,
right.
Because farms basically adjust their output to avoid waste. So when you reduce the amount of food that's being harvested, or at least the amount of food that's available to the rest of the world out of harvest, it's hard to replace that. So yeah, it's going to be hard to impact that if you just look at it from a strict market standpoint,
supply and demand. You know, Sandy, when we go back to 30 years ago, Mogadishu in Somalia, they would show these children with the big bellies and all of those things, and it really tugged on the heartstrings of people in this country who would see that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's starting to manifest itself again. There was a time not long ago before this war that we started seeing some of those things even out in those nations, starting to overcome that. But they've only been, you know, one skirmish away from that happening again. And so we are headed towards the throes of that again. And for the life of me, globally, there was an imperative that addressed those issues. Is that still there?
Well, those issues were much more localized in terms of the impact. Now we've got a huge supply side problem that's being generated based on the both the percentage of the world food that was being supplied by the combination of Russia and Ukraine, and the extent to which that supply is now being diminished as a result of the war, and then the further issue of how do you replace that supply in a short period of time. Out of a world supply of food that is more or less balanced between supply and demand, because you know, we aren't storing up food across the world at any rate each year, because the supply basically is generated in a manner that reflects the demand. So it's going to be a difficult problem to solve, and it's not necessarily one that can be solved easily out of a surplus of food that's being created someplace like in the United States.
You know, I remember the first time I heard you talk about supply chain, and most American people don't think about supply chain unless you guys have gone through, people have gone through training to even and understand the inner workings of all of that. The average American knows nothing about that.
Mm-hmm.
All we know is that we go to a store, something's there, we buy it, and we never think about a global supply chain. We think we're America, and nothing's going to interfere in our entire lives unless something like this happens with that, so we don't focus on any of those things, but other nations have been focusing on supply and the way things move around the world for a long, long time.
Well, and for instance, when Trump started having his tariff war, there developed a serious problem with respect to food that was in international trade, because that's a complicated aspect of the supply chain. There were a large number of food, for instance, I think livestock, that was grown in the United States that was being sent to China that was put in jeopardy as the result of the counter tariffs that were being exercised by China in the trade war.
So I guess my thing is, so there's hasn't been negotiations, or there can't be negotiations between Russia and the rest of the world to make it possible to allow the free movement of food to other nations?
Well, I think there is pressure being put on Russia with respect to that issue. There is also the problem that during a period of war, when a huge number of part of the manpower of Ukraine is now dedicated to war rather than farming, I'm sure there's a great deal of potential wastage of the Ukrainian wheat crop, for
right.
instance, as a result of war, that can't be solved by Russia. I mean, they
right.
could be solved, I suppose, but the war is making it impossible for that wheat to be generated by Ukraine. And so there are two problems. Some of it is that the wheat being produced by Ukraine is being short-stopped and it's been made more difficult to export it from Ukraine to the rest of the world.
Well, isn't it backed up because of what that was already there that they couldn't get out and they're harvesting
yeah.
now?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's the food chain within Ukraine is clearly severely impacted by the war, and the capacity, first of all, that food is almost all shipped by ship,
right?
And so the ability to move ships out of Ukrainian ports is an issue that is being talked about in the world, and there are negotiations with Russia trying to make sure that they can move them out. Russia's pointing out that a number of the ports through which they would move have been mined and have been mined by Ukrainian military in order to avoid the entry into those ports of Russian ships. It's complicated. Warfare makes commerce very much more difficult.
You know, Sandy, it is the early stages of this hunger that they're talking about that people are going to be faced with if they mine the sea. It's going to take a long time to even make it possible for those ships to get through, even afterwards, right? I mean, when they mine, it's not a simple process to then turn around and go and reclaim the mines.
Right. I mean, clearing mines is a process, and during a war, it's hard for Ukraine to divert its resources from defending itself and fighting the war to clearing mines. Right. So, you know, in a period of war, a country would look at its triage, its priorities. What are the most important priorities? And unfortunately, the exporting of food product might drop down on its priorities, well down the list from self-defense, from the rest of the priorities that are involved with the execution of the war.
So I guess, Sandy, I'm not looking at and expecting Ukraine to be focused and concerned about the fact that other nations are going to be suffering from, they got their hands full worrying about survival.
Right.
But I would have thought that the United Nations and other organized nations would.
Well, they have been worried about it. I mean, half the reason we have this news is the United Nations has been telling us about it and forecasting it. The United Nations has a limited capacity to affect.
Do anything about it
for the reason I described. There's so much food produced, so much food is consumed, and it's to some extent a pie that needs to get divided up amongst the people of the world.
All right, got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. It's Monday, that means Mondays with Sandy Williams. We'll be right back.
So Sandy, it was also to my brother.